Beloved, we're looking at a series on the Ten Commandments, and this morning we're going to look in three different places, all right? The first is in your bulletins, which is taken right from God's Word. The Ten Commandments are listed there, and you see the one in bold in your bulletin, in your order of worship. And that commandment, of course, is the sixth commandment. We've skipped over the five because I was sick, but we'll get back to that a little later in the month or next month. But we look at this commandment, the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. You shall not murder. And then as we think about that, let's open up our gray-colored hymnals to page 911. Page 911, we're going to read the questions and answers related to the sixth commandment there on page 911. And then we're going to look at a scripture passage as well, and I'll get to that after we read the questions and answers. Page 911, I'll ask the question in bold if you would respond to the question with the answer. That's in non-bold. What is God's will for you in the sixth commandment? I am not to belittle, insult, hate, or kill my neighbor, not by my thoughts, my words, my look, or gesture, and certainly not by actual deeds. And I am not to be party to this in others. Rather, I am to put away all desire for revenge. I am not to harm or recklessly endanger myself either. Prevention of murder is also why government is armed with the sword. Then the second question, does this commandment refer only to killing? By forbidding murder, God teaches us that he hates the root of murder, envy, hatred, anger, vindictiveness. In God's sight, all such are murder. And then the final question, is it enough then that we do not kill our neighbor in any such way? No. By condemning envy, hatred, and anger, God tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves, to be patient, peace-loving, gentle, merciful, and friendly to them, to protect them from harm as much as we can, and to do good even to our enemies. And then, if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, and that's found on page 1378, actually, Matthew chapter 5. We'll read a couple of verses there at the bottom of page 1378, and then a number of verses further on as well. First of all, in 5:21, we read this. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, the I there is Jesus, I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. And then moving ahead to verses 43 through 48, again, part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is preaching here, 43 through 48, chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, beloved in Christ, as I thought about the message this week, and its title, Is There Such a Thing as Neutral Ground?, I was going to do a little research about the ever-so-exciting topic of net neutrality. I was going to do a little research about that, and it has something to do with how internet is regulated. And I was going to make the point about how some people and companies are all for net neutrality and other people and companies are all against it. But I got all confused learning about it, so I gave up. But then I ran into a very interesting statistic about a certain YouTube video that is on the internet. It is the most viewed video ever on the internet. It is way in first place. It has been viewed over 10 billion times. Billion with a B. That's more views than there are people living on this earth right now. And I got to tell you, as I thought about whether there is such a thing as neutral ground when it comes to the sixth commandment, this YouTube, well, let's just say after you watch it, you can't stay on neutral ground in your feelings about it. You'll either love it or hate it. There is no neutral ground. Here it is. $10 billion and one. All right, show of hands, did you love it? Or did you hate it? Anybody just feeling neutral about it? Keep your hands down, you ruined my point if you do. Now, we'll talk more about neutral ground in a little bit as we go along. The commandment we're thinking about today is you shall not murder. There are a whole lot of euphemisms for murder, aren't there? The mafia boss might say murder is to off or end or rub out or bump off or hit someone. A violent gang member might hear it as someone getting whacked or smoked or iced. And when reading about World War II, you might hear the terms slaughter or butcher or massacre or gas or final solution for an entire race of people. And those words are all about murder. Just a month or so ago, we heard about someone in Wisconsin mowing down a bunch of people. Murder. Just the other day, and even 12:30 a.m. this morning, we heard of someone ambushed, gunned down a police officer as the officer responded to a call or made a traffic stop. Murder. Certain doctors and an entire portion of the medical industry and millions of citizens use the euphemism abort or terminate when talking about ending a human life. In the political realm, you hear the word assassination. In a military context, you might hear about a threat being eliminated or an asset being dispatched. Lots of different ways to describe murder. All euphemisms used to tidy up the dreadful deed or so as not to offend our easily offended sensibilities. You shall not murder. If you read spy novels or CIA novels, you learn another euphemism for it. And it does what euphemisms are designed to do, puts a mild or more insipid impression in our brains when we think of murder. Perhaps all these euphemisms are meant to numb us or desensitize us to the horror that is murder, willfully taking a life. This particular CIA-type euphemism for murder is the word neutralize. Neutralize. That person was neutralized, murdered. But what a bland word to describe murder. Perhaps the blandest of all the euphemisms we have. Neutralize, which means literally to become neutral. Neither positive nor negative. Neither bad nor good. Neither right nor wrong. As moderate, as impartial, as nonpartisan as a word can possibly be. It is a word that can be used to describe someone becoming a pacifist. They have been neutralized. They have come to a point in their lives where they will not join in the fray. They won't join either side or take a stand. They are uninvolved. They are neutral. They stand on neutral ground. They have been neutralized, so to speak. Strange, isn't it? In a word as bland and ordinary and a word as peace-loving as the word neutral, and it has also come to mean to murder, to neutralize someone. What about that, beloved? A word, murder, by any other name that is still a murder, is it not? Just because our society dresses up murder with gang slang or medical terminology or military jargon or political language, just because our society plays dress up with our terms doesn't make the deed itself lovely. Just because our society wipes up the blood when talking about murder doesn't mean the killer is any less smeared with blood guilt. Just because our society neutralizes its nomenclature for murder doesn't mean the act stands on neutral ground, does it? Of course not. Murder is murder. Murder is evil. Murder is wrong. We know that. We highly moral and ethical Christian people know that. And we don't have trouble remembering it. The problem is, friends, that we do have trouble remembering that there are other things that are murder too. The Catechism and Scripture make such a clear case about this. While society is busy dressing up their words for murder with blander and blander alternatives for it, God is busy stripping murder down to its bare essentials. While society casually camouflages murder, God deliberately exposes it. And while a CIA spy novelist labels a murderous act with ordinary lingo, God writes in his book that even our ordinary sinful acts are labeled murderous. Our ordinary sinful acts, such as when we envy, when we hate, when we are unrighteously angry, when we are vindictive. You know acts like that. Ones that seem benign, the ones that are at best trivial, the ones we easily excuse or justify, the ones that wound others only superficially. Those are the ones. Those are the ones. God writes in his book that even these are murder. The Catechism answers the question, does this commandment refer only to killing? With these words, by forbidding murder, God teaches us that he hates the root of murder, envy, hatred, anger, vindictiveness. In God's sight, all such are murder. All those ordinary, day-to-day, bland, innocuous, seemingly so close to neutral acts, God sees as murder. You see, friends, there is more to murder than meets the eye. Murder is not simply physically killing another person. For God, murder is as ordinary as passing out invitations to your 10th birthday party at school and making sure Donald the dork or Josie the jerk know they aren't invited because you can't stand them. For God, murder is as ordinary as spreading an ugly rumor about Wendy the weirdo because she happens to be cuter than you. And deep down, you envy her beauty and wish she didn't have it. It was pretty hard to find names that weren't names of faith community people. I think I did it. But if I didn't, my apologies. For God, murder is as ordinary as yelling at another driver in the quiet privacy of your car and cutting that driver off in anger because he chose to obey the speed limit and you chose to get home from work 14 seconds quicker. For God, murder is as ordinary as saying just the right words to rile someone up. Just the right words to start a little fight. For instance, can't you cook a decent meal once? Or are you ever going to help with the kids today? Not so much the question, is it? It's the provoking, insulting, vindictive way the question is asked. God, you see, follows murder down to its roots. Roots of hatred, envy, anger, and vindictiveness. And even its roots, things so ordinary as vindictiveness and envy, things that come so close to being neutral, like anger, even those roots of murder are murder in the sight of God. So then let's try to get even closer to neutral ground then. Let's move to things that are even more ordinary, even more usual. The Catechism and its scriptural proofs text, scripture proof text gives us a few more suggestions here. How about when we belittle, when we insult, when we plot revenge, when we join in someone else's put down fun, when we bear a grudge, when we cause strife, when we deceive, and even when we gossip? Our ordinary sinful acts, oh so ordinary, oh so close to neutral acts. They're all the same. They are murder in the eyes of God. Listen to what the Catechism says again. I am not to belittle, insult, hate, or kill my neighbor, certainly not by my actual deeds. Of course not. But neither by my gestures or looks, my words, or even by my thoughts. Closer and closer we get to becoming neutral and still murder in the eyes of God. Something as offhanded as an insult. For example, so why aren't you married yet? Can be, without knowing it even, a devastating, murderous insult. And what about belittling? A friend of mine lost a sister. I may have told you this story, but a friend of mine lost a sister to multiple sclerosis a number of years ago. And he told me the story of how his sister, growing up, was always very clumsy. No one had any idea she had MS yet. They just thought she wasn't very coordinated. It was just kind of clumsy, and she fell a lot because her legs were very weak. And when she was picked up for the bus in elementary school, the bus driver would always say to the boys sitting behind him, "Watch her fall, guys, watch her fall." She inevitably did. Only later was she diagnosed with the disease, and that bus driver was a Christian who drove for a Christian school. He belittled my friend's sister, often on a daily basis. It was horrible to witness, my friend said. It always is. It always is. Because it is to witness something that is murderous. Something so ordinary, so almost neutral as belittling and insulting, still is murder in the eyes of God. The Matthew passage we read, of course, backs the Catechism up. Of course it does. You've heard that it was said to people long ago, "Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment." What does Jesus say? something like this. Well, that's true, but I also tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment, and anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. Raca was a name of contempt, akin to calling someone stupid. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. The idea being when you insult someone in anger or when you engage in name-calling to put that person down, maybe you don't think they're very smart or athletic or attractive. Calling them names to put them down below you is a murderous sin. Jesus brings us closer and closer to the ordinary acts of day-to-day living, brings us closer and closer to neutral ground. And still, those almost neutral acts are murder in God's eyes. The Catechism even says, I can't even say things that murder or look a certain way or gesture a certain way that would murder another person. I suppose shooting daggers at someone with our eyes then is out too. Rolling our eyes. Or even murdering someone by harboring a thought of ill will toward them. Closer and closer to neutral ground we come, and still our vicious deeds, our biting words, our hidden gestures, even our silent thoughts are heard and seen by the Almighty God, and they are murder in God's eyes. And finally, we throw up our arms, right? Fine, I won't do it. I won't murder by deeds, by word, even by thought. I'll be totally neutral, totally neutral. I'll take my stand on neutral ground. If even the most ordinary things I do can be considered murder against my fellow neighbor, I won't do anything. I'll keep myself from sin by being entirely neutral toward my fellow neighbor. I'll take my stand on neutral ground. But what do we find out? There's no neutral ground. Neutral ground is not neutral either. Standing on neutral ground is, in its own way, taking a murderous stand too. Listen to the Catechism question. Is it enough that we do not kill our neighbor in any such way, like with anger, envy, hatred, insult, etc.? And the answer is no. By condemning these things, God tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves, to be patient, peace-loving, gentle, merciful and friendly to them, to protect them from harm as much as we can, and to do good even to our enemies. God tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. We can't be neutral toward our neighbors. We can't be neutral to our neighbors, to our enemies. The commandment doesn't work that way. We're not allowed to stand on neutral ground. We are commanded to go in the extreme opposite direction. No disobedience, obviously, nor doing nothing, but doing what we can to love others, neighbor and enemy alike. Do you remember the words, you have heard what it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies, but I, that's Jesus, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. God causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God doesn't allow us to stand on neutral ground. John Calvin says it like this about the sixth commandment. We are commanded, if we find anything of use to us in saving our neighbor's lives, to faithfully employ it. If there's anything that makes for their peace, to see to it. If anything harmful, to ward it off. If they are in danger, to lend a helping hand. God doesn't let us stand on neutral ground. We've got to love, not live and let live. That's neutral. That's not obeying the command, but love and let live. There's where we find obedience to the command. I'm sure many of you know about Amish folks, right? The Amish scattered throughout Pennsylvania, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, and so forth. In their 305-year history in the United States, 305 years, there have only been two cases of one Amish person killing another Amish person. The last time was in 1995, and the bereaved family members of the victim showed no anger because the Amish's practice of the Christian faith prohibits them from doing anything to stir up feelings of anger or vengeance. What a record of sixth commandment keeping they have. They are to be commended, of course. And yet, I am sure, even if they could erase those two murderous blots on their record, even then they would fall short of the requirement of this command. Because we all do. We all fall short. Obviously, now we know that we fall short when we stand on neutral ground, but even when we try our hardest to love others, we fall far short. For did you hear Jesus' closing words in our text? He said, "Be perfect. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." How? How? How can we possibly keep a command like this? Friends, listen very carefully. How? Only through Jesus Christ. Only through believing and trusting that He is your Lord and Savior, that He died and rose for you, for me, for our neighbor, even for our enemy, to forgive our murderous thoughts and words and deeds, He died. To forgive our doing nothing, He died. To forgive our falling short of His law of love, He died. Only through Jesus Christ. He is the only one in whom we rest securely, for His love alone fulfills this command. His love alone never falls short. He fulfilled the commands perfectly. And when He is our Lord and Savior, His perfect obedience stands in for our falling short, and yes, even for our neutral ground. Only in Him do we find safety and security. He is our rock. He is our foundation, Jesus Christ. In Him alone, we find our higher ground. Grounded safely in Him, we live out our lives. Grateful, thankful, servants of the Most High God. Freed now to take on this new life He has given us. Freed to love. Freed to leave murder and doing nothing and staying neutral and falling short. Freed to leave that all behind, for He lives in you always. And we live now freed from our old way of living to live lives of grateful love for Him and for our neighbors and, yes, even for our enemies. Beloved, what do you say? Neutral ground? No. No such thing for followers of Christ. We live, Christ in us, we live on higher ground. Amen. Let us pray. Father, your Son, Jesus Christ, died for us. Please give us the Spirit of Christ in our hearts. The Spirit of Christ to make us abandon old thoughts and words and deeds and patterns and attitudes that are murderous, to remind us of always lovelier ways to love, and to lead us to the higher ground, to the rock of our salvation, who is Jesus. Amen.